This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Michelle, for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. It's great to meet you.
Michelle, let's talk a bit about you and your business.
So I'm the founder of the Better Scalp Company, and we're a company that creates hair care products that truly put your scalp first. So we have a flagship product. It's called Sensitive Scalp Shampoo, and we also have Sensitive Scalp Conditioner. But the real draw there is that Sensitive Scalp Shampoo doesn't contain any common irritants that a lot of hair care products contain. So for some reason, hair care, they love to include things like fragrance, essential oils, harsh botanical extracts. And, you know, there is definitely a draw. It's all natural. It smells good. But the truth is that those kind of ingredients can be very irritating for skin. So that's where we come in. We create products that truly put the scalp health first.
Now, is this an issue for just some people, Michelle, or obviously you want your product used by everyone, but is there a specific individual that you're trying to target with this particular product?
Yeah. So for people that have an itchy scalp and they don't know why, or if they have eczema, psoriasis, those types of people really need gentle products. And if you're trying to prevent getting skin irritation in the future or prevent getting skin allergies, then a good place to start is with a product like this, because it doesn't contain any potential allergens or potential irritants that could eventually, over the years, if you continue to use ingredients that are irritants, then it could lead to a potential allergy. And that's what happened to me.
So did you come up with this product out of your own personal need, because there's nothing in the marketplace? Classic entrepreneurial story, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. I knew I wanted to become an entrepreneur at one point in my life. I just wasn't sure what I was going to do. But then a few years ago, I started to get these skin issues, and I thought I had regular eczema, and it was just getting worse and worse over the years. So I was kind of just disregarding it. But then it got so bad that I went to see a dermatologist just here in Ottawa, and they did a patch test on my skin, which is very similar to the type of food allergy testing you do on your forearm. That's called a prick test. But a patch test is when they put all these ingredients on your back, and they stick it on your back, and they let it sit there for 3 whole days, and you're not allowed to shower or anything. And then after the 3 days, they remove the patches and they see what you reacted to. And that's when I was told I had developed allergies to a lot of natural extracts, a lot of natural products, things like tea tree oil, chamomile, peppermint. And the dermatologist was like, "So do these sound familiar? Do you use products with these things?" And I said, "Well, yeah, everything. I try to use natural products all the time." And she said, "Yeah, don't do that. They can be really irritating, actually." And she educated me on the situation and how natural products can actually be really harsh on skin. And over time, if you continue to use them, especially certain botanical extracts, then you can eventually develop a total skin allergy. And that's what happened to me. So that's what inspired me to create safe products for people to, you know, just protect themselves and be safe from eventually developing skin allergies like mine.
And take us through that journey, Michelle. So you come out of that, you know, you realize that there's nothing on the shelves that exist that are going to help you. So now what? What do you do next?
Yeah, so the dermatologist, she sent me home with this list, and it was a list of her approved products. And there was hand soap, face cream, you know, laundry soap, everything that she recommended. And it was all fragrance free and didn't contain any of the harsh ingredients. But the shampoo that she had on there still contained fragrance. And I looked at the ingredients and I really wasn't impressed. And I couldn't believe that there really wasn't a shampoo on here. And then I did more research online, and wasn't much. So then, and I really love hair care. I was always a big hair care person. I've always had long hair and I love taking care of it. So I really wanted a good product, and I didn't have any trouble finding skincare, body care, anything like that, but the hair care was really a tough point for me. So I just started to think it over, like, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, should this be it? So I thought about it for a few months, and then at this point it was COVID, so I had a lot of time on my hands, and I started to just dive into researching ingredients. Because I'm not a formulator, I'm not a chemist, and I'm also not a dermatologist. So this is not my expertise. At least it wasn't before. But now that it's been a few years, I suppose it is. But so then I started my research and off I went.
And so now you're in the research phase, and then I assume there's a lot of trial and error once the first few prototypes, is that correct? Or did you hit on the formula right away?
Oh no. So at first, yeah, at first I thought I would be able to make shampoo myself. So I'd bought a lot of ingredients, tried to make it at home, and it didn't go well. So I said, okay, why am I doing this? I don't know what I'm doing. Let me start looking. Let me do this right. Let me start looking at manufacturers. So I knew I wanted it to be local-ish. So I just Googled shampoo manufacturer Ontario and shampoo manufacturer Quebec, because I figured, okay, at least if they're within this distance, I could at least drive and go visit them. So that's what I did, and I called every single one that appeared on the Google results, and I told them what I was looking for, and I thought my ask was pretty simple. I said, I want you to make me a shampoo that, it's a regular shampoo, but just remove all the filler ingredients, everything that is unnecessary. I don't want fragrance. I don't want any colors, dyes, anything that's extra that isn't just a cleansing essential. And I want it to be gentle, of course. So I had my list of approved ingredients based off of all the research I had done. So I was calling, calling, calling. And a lot of them said no, because a lot of them, they say, oh no, we don't work with startups. We only want a minimum order of, 50,000 units or 100,000 units. But eventually one of them told me, oh no, we don't do that. But have you tried calling this person, this manufacturer? And I said, no. She gave me their number and I called them. And then they said, yeah, we can do that. Like we got a team of R&D here. They're a really big manufacturer based out of Toronto, and they work with extra large clients and also medium and small. So they said, yeah, we can just have our team. It sounds like it's doable. So I worked with them. They understood the vision. They sent me some samples. I tried them on myself because I needed it to work for me, first of all, because of course my skin is so sensitive now. And we actually had to go through a few iterations until it was just right. And after I found the formula that I like, then of course I had to figure out how to do everything else. Build a website, which I've done through Shopify. Thankfully, Shopify is really easy to use. And then the manufacturer had told me, okay, well, you got to send me bottles, caps, and your labels. So here I went, Googling again, bottle supplier, Canada or US. It just Google really was my best friend.
And so you finally hit on the right formula, you tested it on yourself, and then what was your kind of go-to market strategy?
So I would have loved to have priced this product, at a drugstore pricing level. $10 would have been great. But of course, as you start building the business and the costs start adding up, and because all of my minimum orders are the absolute minimum, they're not, I'm not putting in 100,000 unit orders. Obviously, the costs are not that low. So I realized, okay, I can't be just a generic product. I definitely have to be specialty, be niche. And I am working with a small budget. I don't have any venture capital or anything. So I really wanted to target people that were like me. And I was going to do that online. So I wanted to make my biggest sales channel my Shopify store. So I started with social media, started with friends and family, and it's been quite the journey since I launched. I launched it in March of 2023 is when I first launched with my first iteration of everything. And I sold out of my first batch within that year. And I realized after, because selling online is really hard. Of course, it's not when they say build it and they will come. Yeah, that doesn't work. Social media has been really good for me, as well as Google organic search. That's been a big driver of traffic for me because a lot of people are searching, itchy scalp shampoo, sensitive scalp shampoo. And I purposely made the product called something that was SEO friendly because I just needed any help that I could get, right? So if that could help me with Google, then sure. So it was very descriptive, which I think helped. So Google and then social media. And then I realized 70% of people purchase their shampoo in person rather than online, which is, I think, makes a lot of sense because if you just think of day to day, usually people pick up shampoo at the grocery store or at Walmart or at their hair salon, something like that in person. So I knew I had to have a retail strategy as well. So now I am breaking into hair salons and I'm already in 8 hair salons in the city, going on 9, but slowly growing my retail presence like that. So that's the strategy so far.
Wow. And what about, packaging and labeling? I mean, you must have taught yourself all that from scratch, correct?
Yes, I did. When it was time for me to get my labels figured out, I had to do a lot of research on the Government of Canada website. And honestly, it's pretty straightforward. They list it out pretty well on the website, everything that needs to be on the label. And so I was able to do that. I got inspired by a lot of other, brands that are currently out there. I went to a bunch of drugstores and took a lot of pictures of other bottles and tried to do a bit what they were doing and follow the same regulations because they're clearly following the rules. And I had to hire a designer, a freelancer, to create the label for me. And I even rebranded since I've launched. When I first launched, I felt like the product, it looked a bit more, it was a white label, smaller writing. It wasn't as eye-catching. And once I had received that first product and I started selling it in stores and salons, I quickly realized, oh, it's not really eye-catching on the shelf. I should maybe upgrade this. And then I went through a rebrand. I got a new logo, new bottle. Now it's blue and it's a lot more punchy. You can see it says sensitive scalp and big. So you can definitely, when you're walking by, you can see it. So you learn as you go for sure. But yeah, so far it's all just been research online.
And before we went live, you mentioned that this is something you're doing kind of part-time slash full-time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is not my full-time job yet. It'll only be my full-time job, of course, when I reach a certain revenue point where I can actually quit my day job. But for now, it's a side hustle, but I definitely work on it just as much as I do my regular full-time job. Luckily, I work from home, so I have a pretty flexible day-to-day schedule. And I'm still able to fulfill all my demands of my full-time job while also a lot of times in the evenings and in the early mornings and even weekends, I'm working on better scalp. So yeah, it's definitely a lot to juggle, but I know that it's going to be all worth it the minute that I'm able to quit my job.
Yeah, there's going to be a tipping point for you that's going to come up, and it could be months from now, it could be a couple of years from now, but there'll be some point where you're going to have to look at this and say, okay, do I want to pursue this, all in type of thing. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, there's some really good lessons here, Michelle, for any of our listeners that maybe excuses may be a strong word, but I'll use it anyway. That maybe making excuses as to, well, I'm working full time. I have this idea, this vision, this dream, but I just don't have time to do it. I completely disagree with that. It's just a function of how you use your time.
I agree. It's hard, I'm not gonna lie. Like it's to juggle it all, but it's also so important, I think, to have a full-time job when you're starting because you just don't have the revenue to quit your job. And because I have a full-time job, I'm also able to take a bit more risk in the business. Like I'm hiring someone, working with someone right now that's running Google Ads for me. And it takes a few months before Google Ads can actually become profitable. But because I have a full-time job, I'm able to pay for that and not worry about it because I'm not like stealing from the, I'm not using the business's money.
And that's another really good lesson, Michelle, that if you're able to do this, anyone listening is able to do this and be able to pour all the profits back into the business, reinvest it constantly, you'll grow that much faster than if you were taking those profits for yourself. I'm talking about in the initial stages. And listen, I know that's easier said than done, but obviously you've hit on a pretty good formula here of that balance that you've been able to do, but it's coming at a you're putting a lot of time in, and that's the trade-off. And one of my pet peeves these days, Michelle, is that a lot of people I talk to, they think they can just snap their fingers, start a business, get rich overnight. And I'm not sure where that's all coming from, but I'm noticing that kind of trending lately in people I'm talking to. And that's just not reality. You got to hustle, you got to put in the time and the effort, and you got to make sacrifices. And if you're not willing to do that, then maybe being an entrepreneur is not for you. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I fully agree. I think there's a lot of people that look at successful entrepreneurs and they think they've made it overnight because it's of course it's so easy to think that, but they don't see the day-to-day grind, the having two jobs and then, the financial aspect and it's so much work and it really doesn't happen overnight and you also can't quit your job. I think I totally agree. People have unrealistic expectations. I think social media really is really exacerbates that. It's just sends the wrong message. Maybe some lucky people are able to quit their job and within a few months become financially okay, but I think for 95% of entrepreneurs, that's absolutely not the case.
Michelle, what advice would you give to someone that is in your situation? They're doing it part-time slash full-time, but they're struggling and they're having a hard time maybe managing the hours or the stress of trying to do two things at once. You've done it now successfully for over 2 years. What advice would you give to someone?
I would say, keep going. That's what I have to tell myself every single day. It's so easy to get into those thoughts where, is it worth it? Is it gonna work? Like, why do I even bother? I try not to even let those thoughts cross my mind. I'm just like, keep going. It's gonna be worth it, but it's only gonna be worth it if you work hard every day. If you put one foot in front of the other and you put yourself out there. And I think the more people know also in your network about what you're doing, the more they're willing to help you. It's all about creating that momentum, and you just can't let that momentum dip, like not even for one day. And just remember like what you're doing it for. And it's for yourself. It's for you to eventually get to a point where you can quit your job. That's the mind. It's all about mindset, I think.
It's interesting you mentioned networking. A common theme on this podcast from my guests is that entrepreneurship is a lonely journey. And it is. So if you can surround yourself with as many like-minded people as possible, I think that's really key. Michelle, did you have that naturally? Like, did you have a built-in network of people that would understand what you were going through and support you, or did you have to go out and find those individuals?
I had a supportive family and my friends are supportive, but none of them are entrepreneurs. So it's, they're supportive, but they're not in it in the same way that I am. I had to find and meet other entrepreneurs myself. And I was lucky to have met a lot of them through Invest Ottawa. I've done an accelerator program through them and I'm part of a peer group there. And I keep in touch with a lot of other entrepreneurs, especially those that are at the same stage as me. And, we keep up. And when things are tough, we bounce ideas off each other. And it really, really helps. I think it does because no one really understands being an entrepreneur like another entrepreneur. Like your friends and family, I really appreciate them, but it's just not the same. They don't understand the daily grind, the two jobs, and like some people, they don't want that, And I respect that. They don't want that. So they can't really put themselves in my shoes. So you really have to go and look for other entrepreneurs, because that's the only way you're going to stay sane and stay motivated, I find.
And are you at the point now with your peers that you're able to mentor startups that were in your shoes a couple of years ago?
I definitely could. I don't do it much. I can definitely help people get started, because that's what I did, especially if you're doing a consumer products business. I certainly know how to do that and get the website running, and I know how those things work. In terms of, I'm not definitely not at the stage where you can quit your job and be close to an exit or anything like that. Hopefully one day I'll be able to mentor someone about that aspect. I've also never raised any funding, which is something I definitely can't mentor anyone on. But yeah, I guess if you're very, very early stage, I could do that.
But the reason why I'm bringing that up is, to me, it's really interesting that, you didn't have, I don't think you had anyone back in the beginning stages. You're trying to figure this out yourself, and in a very short period of time, you're now in a position to, depending on what it is they're trying to accomplish, but you're now in a position to help somebody that, you could have used the help back then. And I find that, anyone listening that is thinking of starting a business, there's lots of people out there like myself, like Michelle, and others that are willing to share their, what if they can help, and willing to share that information. And I find too many times, new entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs, it's almost a pride thing. They don't want to feel that they don't have all the answers. Well, the reality is you don't have all the answers. So why not lean on others? So I think that's a really good lesson as well.
Yeah, I've even gotten a lot because I find entrepreneurs love to support other entrepreneurs. And I, in my early days, you send a cold email to an entrepreneur that you know in Ottawa, and I was so surprised that they were willing to, give me their time or meet with me. And even though their businesses were so far ahead of mine and they're all independent, they have staff, all this stuff, and it's like they're still willing to meet. And I'll never forget that. And I would, of course, do that for anyone, It's just part of the culture, and I hope other people feel the same.
Michelle, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your products?
So you can find us on Instagram at BetterScalp, and you can also check out our website, betterscalpcompany.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Michelle Marchand. Thanks
Michelle, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate your time.
so much, Pat.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.